Well, we've been focused on our situation. We know there's other interest in the market, but we're zeroed in on what we have to offer with fiscally sound organization and stable and excellent ownership with the Wilfs, as well as the building we talked about, a tremendous stadium. The location of the building right on the intersection of the green and the blue lines. Lots of history within the U.S. on transit options being paramount for MLS game attendees. So there's just everything lines up pretty well. Ultimately, it's up to Major League Soccer, and they are very interested in this market, and we have a great market. But that's where we are. I can't speak to what's happening with anyone else here, other than what we're trying to do is advance our bid, if you will.
What other steps are there?
Well, we'll continue to work with the MLS. We've been on the road. We've gone to a number of different markets and met with ownership groups throughout the MLS. We'll continue to work with the leadership of Major League Soccer, and we expect in the near term to advance more of a viable business plan, business proposal.
When did you actually come forward with the dollar amount, $46 million? When did you have to break that news to the Vikings that that was the over budget, and how difficult was that conversation?
Well, this was a process over a couple of months, and it really, I will say, I think, now as we look at what the Vikings are putting in and we look at what the overall budget looks like, it seems clean. It wasn't clean. It was very much a process as we worked to identify, where were we at on this whole budget. As John mentioned, some of it were scope increases. Some of it was pricing. Let's take steel, for example. When steel comes in high, you think about the amount of steel that's in this building. And when prices came in high on that, for example, the operable doors have a lot of steel in it. So part of the steel increase had a big impact on the operable doors. Is that about the doors or is that about the steel? So it was just a lot of moving factors and pieces. But the Vikings, the way the legislation is set up, the Vikings are really partners with us. We can't spend any money without their approval on this construction project. And we obviously can't increase the budget. We can't, So it's a very, luckily, we had a very collaborative, however difficult, process. But they were with us at the table. It's not like we sat with our architects and our construction firm and then came to the Vikings and said, oh, here's the problem. They were sitting with us side by side as we worked through what could we do. And there were things that, there were things that were done that had impacts of, cuts that could be made here or there, things that would not impact either the significant design features of the building or the fan experience or the comfort of people. All those things were looked at, and we made a lot of changes. And then there were some things that were included and perhaps could be looked at as enhancements or upgrades as well. So it was a collaborative process.
But never was it talked about that you go back to taxpayers. I mean, that was never an option.
The thing about this, I think since day one, it's been very clear to all of us, none of us have any misconception, that the 498 that was put in by the state and the city of Minneapolis, that's it. There's no more. So we always knew that. So really our choices were to look at, making some value engineering decisions, adding some additional money, trying to find ways. What we did do a lot of with our architects and Mortensen and various consultants was find ways of doing things differently that also could save some money. The mechanization system, for example, on the doors, we now have switched to a hydraulic mechanization system that should save some money. So things like that were considered as well. So it was kind of a whole process that we looked at as we went through. So it's hard to identify any one thing. But I will say, and I really meant this as I talked about it, I do think that the process we went through with the architects, the construction firm, the Vikings, and the authority as difficult as it was. I think it really kind of was a good collaborative process that we all kind of, you know, set the agreements aside and said, okay, let's figure this out and do what needs to be done to make this the best project we can have.
I
so
I haven't heard anything about the scoreboard. I know you paid for the additional sort of mounts in the stadium, but I haven't heard you talk about this expanded scoreboard. Is that still to come, and is there going to be still more money for that?
Well, we have a separate technology budget. They did already pay for the structural pieces of bringing that in. The technology budget is something that early on the Vikings actually, you know, really looked at in terms of wanting to have the technology be the best fan experience. All of that is in our to implement those things is in our technology budget. We've accounted for it. It's included in the budget.
Can you give us an idea of how much higher the steel costs are compared to what you expected? I think steel was about $82 million.
Well, there was two major sections of steel, if you will, two separate contracts. The original long-span structure, which is what you see taking shape out on the job site right now. That was about an $85 million contract. That was awarded to the Lejeune Danny's team earlier, and that was accounted for in the original GMP. Where we had some budget challenges was in what we refer to as the non-long-span steel, which is all of the steel that will basically surround the concrete structure. It will create the perimeter profile of the building, support the exterior wall system, support this very elaborate snow management system that will deal with snow that will be coming off the roof. We budgeted that steel at about $4,800 a ton, and there's about 7,000 tons of steel in that particular element of the building. Those bids came in around $6,000 a ton. And it wasn't necessarily as a result of, commodity price increases in steel, because those prices have been relatively stable. It was really a result of two things. One, certainly a growing complexity in the engineering of that particular element of the project as compared to where it was back last summer. And secondly, and more importantly, just the change in the construction economy. I mean, it's just the fundamental change of supply and demand that has caused fabricators and erectors that are in that business to raise their prices and take advantage of the hot market that exists not only here but around the country right now. We got competitive bids on both the fabrication and erection from multiple firms, so it wasn't like we were just dealing with a sole source or anything like that. And we negotiated those numbers as hard as we could with the two most competitive proposers. But at the end of the day, we could not buy it for what we had budgeted, and it was a critical component of work that had to be, we had to get it awarded. We had to get it, the steel and the fabrication process. And so we did that. And the majority of those additional costs attributable to that were covered by Mortenson. We had to use your term, we had to eat that within our guaranteed maximum price, and that consumed a portion of the contingency that we had in our GMP, which was there to deal with just those kinds of things. And there were certain costs, a certain share of those additional costs that the authority and the team bore because it related to some additional scope of the steel work that we were buying. So,
if I could, can I make just two comments on the budget just at the end, wrap this up? Just one. You know, on we were faced with a choice to eliminate some of the fan experience or some of the iconic design items, and to the choice to eliminate and cut those things or increase the investment, and that's where we came down. The other comment I wanted to make is, and it's more detailed in our press release. But in addition to the roughly $49 million increase in contribution that the Vikings are making, in addition to the $49 million, there's $23.2 million that we are absorbing in costs as part of the TCF Bank Stadium project. So it's $49 million plus absorption of $23 million on that side of the project.
But Lester, you guys went into this knowing you weren't working with the final document. Isn't this just a PR move? I mean, you knew you were going to have to cough up the $26.6 million a few months ago. I mean, isn't this just your opportunity to say, well, I mean, you had to know the costs were going to go.
We went through all this work the last 3 months just for a PR move?
Apparently, Rochelle knew. I guess this is a process, and as we've gone through and again to maintain the iconic design and the numbers came in not where we expected, and you know it went through this process that you've heard about, but this was a difficult discussion and decisions, but we're excited about where it's headed. And Mortensen's doing a tremendous job building the stadium. It's very exciting what's happening.
I've got copies of the Audubon, what they asked us for, what we did.
But what about the operator contract? I mean, what distinguished SMG from AEG?
Yeah.
The
well, I mean, they all were really good. They were all very competitive. SMG clearly has more stadium, NFL stadium management experience than any of the other companies.